Today's daf, very important daf. This is it, man. We're ready to head on tomorrow. So today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're holding on daf Lamed Amud Beit at Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom haKippurim. So these were days of yamim tovim. So what exactly was it that happened that made Tu B'Av a Yom Tov? So Bishlama Yom HaKippurim, I understand why we would make Yom HaKippurim a Yom Tov. I mean, it basically Chau Mechila, Yom Shenitno Boluchos Achronos. When we say Yomim Tovim LiYisrael, we don't mean as a din stam of Yom Tov, because obviously Tu B'Av doesn't have a din of Yom Tov. So what we're saying is that it's a day in which you literally experience the concept of Yom Tov in your flesh. Such a happiness, an internal happiness that was miyuchad, even though Tu B'Av is not really a Yom Tov, but it's a Yom Tov on that level. So I understand why on that level Yom Kippur would be called Yomim Tovim of absolutely the best. Because Slicha, Mechila, the Kabbalah Satera, after everything, we got the Luchot Achronot. But Tu B'Av? What happened on Tu B'Av? Omre B'Yudom HaShmuel, Yom Shehu Teru Shvatim Lavo Zeh B'Zeh. Remember that at in the Midbar, when Eretz Yisrael was given over to the Shvatim, and we explained the Dinim of Nachla, so we had the big problem of what happened to Benot Zelofchad, because Benot Zelofchad came along, and they insisted that they should, since they didn't have any brothers, that the Yerusha should go to them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kein benot Zelofchad dovrot, they're absolutely correct. In a place where there is no son that's being Noichel, so then a daughter is Noichel, Nochelat. So afterwards, we had the immediate response of the people who were going to be most affected by this. This, of course, are all of those from the Shevet. So what happens if they go out and they marry somebody from a different Shevet? So this was the people that ended up becoming the problem people that were so dovok. This was the story, of course, of Yiftach and the Yoreb ben Menashe, the whole group, that Yiftach's family had rejected him gufa because of this, because his mother came from a different shevet, and that was the beginning of all of the breakdown bein Hashvatim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they're right also. And there was a limitation on a daughter who had died. If his father had died in one shevet without leaving a son, she was only allowed to marry someone from within shevet. You can understand the implications of such a thing and what it did to the Achdus of Yisrael, and the fact that people started looking at it as the Mamish called Yiftach's mother a whore, and they threw him out and so on. It was terrible. And that's because just from a different shevet. Unbelievable. So when they finally realized that that was not meant to be something that was L'Dereis, and that it was only to be Kiveya the Nachal at the beginning of the Knis of Eretz Yisrael, and it was only said to the people then, so they made it a holiday. How did they decide that? My Dorosh, what did they see in the Pasuk that suddenly allowed them to be Mater the Shvatim, to be Bo Zeh B'Zeh? They were Dereish Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziva Hashem Livnot Zelofchad. So remember that wherever we find the Lashon of Zeh HaDavar, it's always something unique because it was only Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara darshens. Only Moshe Rabbeinu among all Nevi'im who ever used the Lashon of Zeh HaDavar. Which means that Zeh HaDavar is a unique responsiveness of a Din Terah to something that is meant to be only in a unique way. It's not something that applies the way things normally would apply. It's a unique Lashon HaMoshe. So they darshaned here that Zeh HaDavar means that it's only Bedor HaZeh. Dover Zeh lo yenoeg elo Bedor Zeh. And therefore they were mater. Rav Yosef from Rav Nachman said there was another inyan that had to do with the Shvatim once again getting together. And that was, it's amazing that we have this Gemara now, Mamish Parshas Vayigash, that it was the Yom Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Lavo Bekahal. This was after the terrible stories of Pelegish Begiva, and everybody had taken a Shvua We're not going to give our daughters to anybody from Binyamin, which threatened Binyamin with extinction because they had wiped out the population of Binyamin. They needed to have a rapid population growth. And it says over there, Shenemar ve'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpeh lemor, ish b'men ulo yitain bitol v'inyamin le'isha. Not one of us will give his daughter as a wife to anyone from Shevet Binyamin. So how were they suddenly matir it? My dorush, Omar Rav, ish mimenu. They were derish the pasuk. What was the lashon of the Kabbalah of the Shvua? Anyone of us currently alive in this generation. But it does not mean that we are committing ourselves to future generations. And therefore, they were matir from that point onwards. And this concluded the integration of the Shvatim on that level. Rabbi Bar Bachana and Rabbi Yochanan. It's special on Tu B'Av because it was the Yom Shekalubo Metei Midbar. That was the day that they realized that there will no longer be anybody dying because of the Gzera of Tisha B'Av and the Bechiya L'Doreis. So now you understand that the first aspect of Tisha B'Av was the Gzera on the Dor HaMidbar. And that they would all be kolu b'midbar hazeh yicholu, they wouldn't be nichnas teretz Yisrael. Which means that the tikkun of Tisha B'Av, in other words, the beginning of the sense of nechama that we have of Tisha B'Av, is dafka, the period in which we can say that that finished. So when those 40 years were over, they were over. And that was like a new beginning, a new lease on life. So the question, of course, is, how in the world could it have ended on Tu B'Av if it's 40 years later? So it should be on Tisha B'Av. 40 years later on the same day that the Gezerah was Chal. Ah, but the problem was that they didn't know that it had happened. Fascinating thing. Now, we found this also, Benogea, the dating that we said that the people, when they found out that the year, what had happened to Yerushalayim, that was the day that they made the Tainus. Because that was the day that they experienced it on. And that is our relationship to time. So what happened over here is that every Tisha B'Av, the population of those who may die that year were told on Leil Tisha B'Av that they have to dig a grave for themselves. This is like Atem Bechita Bechia Shachinam. You dug your own graves. So go ahead and dig your graves. And everybody had to dig a grave, lie down in the grave, and the next morning, if they were still alive, so they would announce, anyone still living, get out of your grave. And this would go on every single year, and they had that proportion of people dying every single year over the 40 years. So there were 15,000 people that would die every year. That particular time, they went into their graves, and the next morning they announced, anyone alive should get out of the grave. And everybody got out. So they thought, that doesn't make sense, because they didn't realize that that original year was included in the 40 years. So maybe we made a mistake in how it is that we made the Rosh Chodesh. Maybe it wasn't really Tisha B'Av. Maybe the next day was Tisha B'Av. So they did the same thing the next day. Again, everybody got out of their grave. They continued to do this until the moon was full, which was Tu B'Av. And on Tu B'Av, they recognize that there's no longer any possibility of any mistake, obviously. The 15th of the month couldn't be the 9th of the month. And they finally accepted that it's over. Now, you realize that it's not that they really thought on the 14th that it's Tisha B'Av or on the 13th that it's Tisha B'Av. It's quite obvious that they couldn't have made a mistake to that extent. One day, I understand. But the point over here is the sense of closure. You have to be absolutely sure that it's over. We're going to see that this is a commonality here in the Inyan of Tu B'Av. It's fundamental to understanding Tu B'Av, that it's the end of an era. And in order for something to be the end of an era, it has to be clear and absolute to you. And in fact, the amazing thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in exactly the same way. D'yomar mar, ad shelo kalu metei midbar, lo hayu adibur im Moshe, shenemar vayikasher tamu, kol anshei ha-milchama lamut, Vayadaber Hashem Eli, Eli Hayah HaDibur. So this is amazing. First of all, what you're saying that this is because, right? Diomar Mar. So what's the Diomar Mar? But when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides when he's going to speak to Moshe. He knew the year before that that was the end of the Gezerah. So there was no longer anybody else that was going to die, right? So why wasn't the Dibur Miyuchad with Moshe the year before? Or certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't doubtful what day Tisha B'Av was. And he didn't think that maybe it was really still Tisha B'Av when it was the 13th of Av. So what is this supposed to mean? So you see that the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the shleimus of his way of speaking to Moshe, says, Eli Yada Dibur, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu sensed a certain impersonal feeling about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him. And there wasn't the same sense of intimacy during that entire period of 40 years. From that point on, all of a sudden, everything was back to full love, relationship, care, the way that it had been before the Maisa Meraglim. And that means that the day itself is actually, this is how Rashi, I'm not ready to accept that this is the words of Rashi, but whoever it is that wrote this Pirush as a Kabbalah, that the point is that that's why it's a Yontif. It's the De'amar Mar. In other words, we wouldn't have made a Yontif from the fact that we finally realized, made up our minds, it must really be Tisha B'Av and it's over. But it's because it really is over. It's because we see from the Hanagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's over. So in the same way that Yom Kippur, again, the Mefarish, assuming these are the words of Rashi, there may be words of Rashi here, of course, but there's apparently a lot of, as the Rishonim point out, a lot of mess-ups here of people sticking things into Rashi, so it's hard to know. But Rashi says back there that the Indian of Yom Kippur was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was koveya that day as Yom Kippur, lohodia, that everybody should know that this was a day of Slichu Mechila and that he was mechil them on the Chet HaEgel. And because of that, it became the holiday of Yom Kippur, which is the Yom Tzom, and so on and so forth. That was because initially this was kavua as the time that we should know and relate to the fact that it was a special day of Slichu Mechila, and that is why we call it Lohoyu Yomim Tevim. So the same thing is true over here. When everything turned back and it was the end of an era, both in the way that we were ready to put it behind us, like we say in English, put it behind you. To put it behind you means that there's a sense of closure and that now things can be renewed. That's a very special moment. And at that point, they made that special Yom Tov. Ula Amar? Ula says it's because it was the day. Shebitel Oshea ben Elah, Pruzdiot Shoshiv Yeravam ben Evat al Adrachim, Shelo Yalu Yisrael Lerega. So originally, Yeravam, out of his fear that people would come to Yerushalayim and would see that only Malchus Beis David was able to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was really Beis Chadavid, and they would begin to recognize that the entire idea of a Malchus to Yerovam was a temporary thing. It was not meant to be maintained, Ludaris, and indeed, it was originally meant as a gift for 36 years to Yerovam. You'll note the relationship to Hanukkah. And because of that, when he saw that people were going to Yerushalayim, he literally put up border police and prevented people from going up to Yerushalayim, which, of course, relates to the whole story of the Eitzim and the Korban Eitzim, when we're talking about the Gon Ve'eli. And so we mentioned, Kiderech Shoshiv Yerovam Ben Avad. It's like, what is that, right? We relate the whole thing then back to the mocker of the problem in Yerovam Ben Avad. And then the tikkun of that issue was on Tu B'Av also. It's unbelievable. Every last element came together in different ways with Tu B'Av, and came along Hoshea ben Elah. And at that point, it was no longer it used to be a big political hot potato. Now, it's not that Hoshea was interested that people should be coming Dafka to the Beis HaMikdash. He had no interest in that. But what he said, because he himself is a Rasha, but he said, you can go wherever you want. You know, so until now, we were very frum. We only worshipped Avodah Zarah. From this point on, now we're modern Orthodox. Yeah, you want to go to Beis Mikdash, go to Beis Mikdash. You want to go worship Avodah Zarah, go worship Avodah Zarah. So we believe in freedom of religion and so on. So that was another one of the Inyanim. And of course, as Moshe Andal has pointed out, this is all consistent with Vayigash. We said it comes out now because of Eitz Yitzhak Torah, Eitz Yudah, and Eitz Yosef, and they come together. This is the period in which the Shvatim come together. Rav Matna Amar, what was the other Inyan that took place on Tisha B'Av? Was the destruction of Beitar. So this was the day that Harugei Beitar were allowed to be buried, because the Romans had made a point of not allowing anyone in Beitar to be buried so that people should go through the pain of watching the decay of all of those hundreds of thousands that had been massacred in Beitar by the Romans. And a nace happened that none of the bodies decayed in any way, and therefore it became an embarrassment for the Romans. So then they said, okay, fine, so go ahead and bury. So when they were able to be zeicha to bury the Harugei Beitar, that and only that will allow them to put Beitar behind them. You see, again, it's the same idea. Because as long as it was an open wound and still needed to be dealt with, in the same way that Tisha B'Av needed to be dealt with the Tutubo, because I can't psychologically believe that it's over. Like, I don't know what it could be, but it can't be over. And you go down into your grave again. This is such an insight into human psychology. This is what we do. We dig our grave again and again and again because we can't believe that we actually have managed to get past this. So that concept, put it behind you. Tisha B'Av is behind you. Beitar is behind you. All of those tragedies, they're over. Now you can deal with it. It doesn't mean now everything's great. Like Hoshea ben Elah, it's not great, but now you can deal with it. And that is the greatest difference of a yontav that is imaginable, that at last you're free. So it's the end of all sense of avelut, because now the world is your oyster, basically. Whatever you want to be, achieve, you can go out and achieve. Same thing obviously now relates back to Yom Kippur, because until Yom Kippur, you have not put the previous year and your averus behind you. And it's only after you go through the Yemei Adin, including the Gemara Adin and the Gezeras Adin, that you're now ready to start the year. And that's the Betkufas Hashana. That's the tremendous chelik of the tremendous simcha on Sukkot as well. So the Lo Ayu Yamim Tovim relates on these two levels as well. So Yom HaKippurim and Tu B'Av. Rav Yosef says, I didn't finish yet. V'yomer Rav Matzna, that it was because of that, that oto yom, shenitnu harugei beitar likvura, tiknu biyavna hatov v'ametiv. The brocha of hatov v'ametiv, which became an added brocha in Birkat HaMazon, they were koveya it on wine and on Birkat HaMazon. And the reason they were koveya it on wine, more than anything else, says Tosfos, because the Beisei Beitar were like a geder bekerem, that they were like, they stood up as the that which protected the Kerem Yisrael, and they weren't Nisrach. Nothing went wrong with their bodies. That's why they were koveya it as if it were wine. So it maintained its tam. So tiknu biyava that brocha tov ametiv. What did they say? The two lashonas of tov and metiv. Tov shelo hisrichu. Their bodies did not decay. And metiv shenitnu lekvura. So every time that we say, Bene Yerushalayim in Birkat HaMazon, and then from there we go directly to the Atov HaMetiv, it brings us back to the conclusion of the Churban in a way that allows us to now feel the Nechama of Bene Yerushalayim. Remember that that was such a painful bracha that it's osur, till today really, we're not knowing it, but it's osur to have a knife on your table. Because people literally said the bracha and committed harikari. They grabbed a knife and killed themselves. It was such a painful thing that it actually was also to have a knife on the table. So this bracha of Atova Metiv that comes directly afterwards was a tremendous, tremendous source of solace that was throughout the Deres. Imagine at the time what it meant to people to be able to say, okay, it's over. So this is the reason that they made it a yontif. Rabbi Yosef says, but together with Rabbi Rav Yosef Tavayu, Amru, it's the day that we can put behind us the strangest thing. the bringing the eights to the Mizbeach. What? Yes, because basically you can no longer get new wood after Tu B'Av. Why is that? Because it's no longer the peak of the sun, and therefore we can't rely on the wood drying out. And if the wood doesn't dry out, then it can become wormy. And any wood that's wormy is possible for the Mizbeach. So lemaisa, that means that we can, as we say in English, bury the hatchet. So if we bury the hatchet, put it behind us, get moving on a new life, that's another element of Tu B'Av, isn't it? Remarkable the way all the sugyas just plop together here. So now, Yom Shepasku Melichrot Etzim L'Maracha, you can't cut wood anymore. So it used to be, okay, I mean, how many people are cutting wood? It's not the point. You can't turn your back to it. Your mind is busy with something, worrying about something. Now, what are you going to worry about? You're going to worry about making a new Seder, finishing a couple extra Prokem in the Rambam a day, doing another Daf Yomi. So because of that, now it's like a whole brand new world. So this, of course, is Rabbi Yosef specifically, as we'll see later on. Because of the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Agadol Omer, B'chamisha asar ba'av ve'elech, tashash kocha shel chama. So from the 15th of Av, even though this is a lunar date, but remember that we relate our lunar dates to the things that are happening in the solar year. So we say that it's from that date that we relate to the fact that it's no longer, the sun is no longer going to be high up in the sky. V'lo ayu kortim etzim l'maracha l'fi she'enan yiveshim. Omer ben Hashia, that's why they called it that day to bury the hatchet. Yom Tavar Magal, that's the day that we broke the Magal that's used for cutting. Mikan ve'elech, this is Rabbi Yosef again, as we'll see. Mikan ve'elech, you'll note the Loshen in the Mishnah. De Mosif Yosif, v'de lo Mosif Yosif. So people who add hours to their learning at night, so their life is expanding and they're growing. But somebody who can't add should just Yosef. Tosfos says it shouldn't say my Yeyasef, because everybody knows what Yeyasef is. And the Lashon in the Mishnah is not Yeyasef. It's Mandelomosif, Yosef, which is the play on words. So what's the meaning of Yosef? Of course, Rav Yosef says that Yosef means Tikpere Ime. His mother should bury him. He should drop dead. Because what does he need to live for? He's going to be the same as he always was, so he already got there. This world is not for being where you already were. This world is for being something that you weren't the day before. So if you can't bury the hatchet and move on, so forget it. What do you need to live for? Incredible. So that idea is exactly this. I told you what Chanaleah told me, her daughter told her. It's unbelievable. Such a beautiful thing that here she's suffering. Her husband had died. And they had a beautiful relationship, and she's like really missing him. And so she tells me, well, you know, my daughter told me today, I told her, I'm really missing daddy. And she said to me, you just want more of the same. You already had the most wonderful life. You had the most wonderful lover, the most wonderful, what's the point of having more of the same? You know what? She's right. Okay. So Mandelo Masif, Yasif. Okay, beautiful. So this becomes the whole simen of the end of the period of the Churban, the end of the aspect of Tainus, and it's the opposite. Note how beautifully it's the opposite of what the Rambam defines as the nature of Tainus. The nature of Tainus is the responsiveness to Tzara. And that would mean that the Tikkun of Tainus is the responsiveness to the end of Tzara. And the recognition, it's really over, and now you can start. You can climb out of the hole that you've dug for yourself. And that's mamish what we feel like. We feel like we're in the bottom of a pit, and it's inside of our minds, perhaps, but we can climb out of that pit and begin to live. And so it's the most beautiful ending imaginable for Masechet Tainus to have dafka this issue. And it should be in terms of specifically this last parak that brings together all of the inyanim from Maaseh Bereishis through the way that we experience the development of our world through all of its pains and through all of its growth spurts. And therefore, this was the time, Shebehen Benot Yerushalayim. So what does it say? That the Benot Yerushalayim used to go out, or Benot Yisrael is really the Girsa that's elsewhere, that makes more sense. And everybody would borrow clothing so that everyone on that day could feel like a queen, because there wasn't anyone that didn't have the same beautiful level of clothing. It came from everyone. So it was the time, therefore, that it was borrowed clothes. And Tanur Rabbanan, we're talking about over here, that even the daughter of a melech, the most wealthy person, Shoela, she would go out and she would borrow the beautiful white clothing from the Bata Kohen Gadol. The Bata Kohen Gadol would go and borrow clothing from the one beneath her. It was the Bata Sgana Kuna. The Bata Sgan would borrow from the daughter of the Mashuach Melchama. The Mashuach Melchama would borrow from a Kohen Hedyot. All of Klal Yisrael would be Shoelim Mizeh Mizeh. And this way, no one would be embarrassed by what they didn't have. And then we said that everything requires tefillah, because we couldn't be sure that it wasn't bimaga with Anida. Maybe she had sat on it. It was even tame with midras. So because of that, they insisted that all of these begadim be put into a mikveh. And Omar Rabbi Elazar, even things that for sure had been in a mikveh before, and were now inside of a chest, and they were in a hope chest, there was somebody's wedding gown or whatever, and we know 100% that they were shomer from Tuma, afilu mekupalim umunachim bekufsa. It wouldn't matter even if they were inside of a closed chest, there's no suffix of Tuma whatsoever, it doesn't matter. They would still basically be careful to put it into mikveh again.